and come back and see me. Get some facts and come back and see me. Don't fill out salaries or other things. Get some facts and come back and see me.
You can't handle the truth.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, I'm looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
We weren't good. There's no sense asking me things about the game. I'm telling you, we laid an egg, so I'm not going to break it down for you. He sucked. He sucked. But he laid an egg. That's all I have to say, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not going to break it down for you. Nothing went well for us. It's on us. We have to figure it out, and we will.
It's showtime.
All right, final hour of the program. Glad you're with us on X's and Bros throughout the great state of Michigan. We're here Monday through Friday, not 6 until 9. You want to join the program? The Meyer Hotline. Ben is waiting for your phone call, 866-838-4843. Or you can text him at sportsradio21000, and then Ben gives us those texts, and we talk about anything that might be on your mind. I'm Matt Shepard. Yankees sweep the Tigers behind a 5-2, eight-inning win. Aaron Judge homered in the first. Juan Soto with a bases-loaded clearing double in the seventh. Shelby Miller takes the loss. He has quickly becoming Tigers fans' enemies too strong. He's a guy that they're starting to question a little bit. Detroit will get Cleveland in a series starting tonight downtown. Guardians get a 4-1 win over the Angels behind two two-run homers. One from Jose Ramirez, underrated player, phenomenal, and Josh Naylor. If you're the Tigers and you could have one guy right now who would fix your power, fix your defense, fix a little bit of speed, and play a position that you need, who would it be? Who would it be? Something to think about. I've got a name for you. Not that you're going to do much about it, but I've got a name for you. I want to hear who you might have. 866-838-4843. All right, Cavs beat the Magic in Game 7, 106-94. Donovan Mitchell with 39. Every time you hear Donovan Mitchell, you go, ah, could have been a Piston. Taken right after Luke Kennard. Anyway, he scored 50 in the Game 6 loss. He scored 39 in the Game 7 win. He had 89 points in Game 6 and 7 combined, the second most in NBA playoff history to Allen Iverson. Iverson had 90 in a Game 6, Game 7 situation when he was with the Sixers. It's the largest comeback in a Game 7 since 1997, being that Cleveland was down 18 at one point. Meanwhile, hopefully not lost in all this, is Paolo Banchero on what Banchero did for Orlando in the loss with 38 points. He's a phenomenal player. I think he's better now than he was at Duke, don't you? I watched him at Duke, and I thought, you know, people are talking about this guy as number one. I watched him a lot. I didn't see it. Now you see it. My goodness. Rangers beat the Hurricanes 4-3 in Game 1 of their series. Mika Zibanejad had two goals and an assist. And the Vegas and Stars wrapped up their series in Game 7 last night in Dallas. The Stars winning 2-1. They were down 2-0 in that series. Peter DeBoer, now 8-0 all-time, coaching in a Game 7. Canada beat Team USA in the U18, 6-4 to win gold. Brooks Koepka wins the LIV Golf Tournament in Singapore. Taylor Pendrith wins the Byron Nelson, his first PGA win. Speaking of golf, and we just got done talking about the Rocket Mortgage Classic with Jason Longwell, the executive director. Did you see the article about Tiger Woods and his new apparel? Have you seen how much it's going for? We all like to look good, no matter what. My dad used to have a saying, you got to look good if you want to play good. Look good to play, feel good, look good, play good, right? So look sharp when you can. So in golf, I don't know about you, but when I go into a golf shop, it's hard to leave without buying something. And I don't mean golf balls. So many cool shirts, shorts, belts. I want more golf shoes because you like to match. You like to coordinate. You like to look good. You're not showing up at a golf course, I hope, with a hoodie and jeans, right? But there is a limit. I played golf last week with my sons, and I needed a ball marker or a green repair. Picked up a cool red, white, and blue stars and stripes, and it cost me, I think, $10, something like that. Wasn't bad. I look at certain shirts, and I think part of it is I know the markup is astronomical, and it bothers me that, you know, people are going to make that much money off me, but certain things you want to buy. Everybody has a limit, I would hope. The Tiger Woods new line, since he's no longer with Nike. He signed with Nike in 1996 when he turned pro right out of Stanford. He was with that brand for 27 years. Remember? And they had the TW logo. A lot of people wore it. It was synonymous with golf. He and Michael Jordan with those massive Nike deals. Now Caitlin Clark's got a big deal. Well, since that time, or since he left Nike, he now has his own luxury clothing line, if you will. I think it's called Sunday Red. Not Sunday, but Sun, S-U-N. Then another word, day, then red. And it's a play on from when he wore red on Sundays, you know? Well, he's got 15 majors. So what it has is, if the logo, it's a tiger with 15 stripes to signify his 15 major championships. I don't know who came up with it. Maybe it was him. I'm not sure. What if he wins another? Then what happens? But whatever. How much are you willing to pay? His polos, short sleeve polos, start at $120 and go up to $175. Shorts with that logo start at $135. Ball markers with that logo cost $50. Now, before I tell you I would never pay that for any of those, and I wouldn't, let me remind you this. The ball markers are sold out. $50 for a ball marker, and it's sold out. Why? I'm not saying you should get one of those free plastic ones that have a little nub and stick in the ground, or the one off your golf glove from FootJoy. I'm all for making a statement. I'm all for looking the part. That's fine. It's cool. But $50? Whew. To me, that's pretty steep. $5 I could see. Maybe 10. We're just talking about a ball marker. You're on the green. I know, we don't find it very often, but you're on the green, and you're marking your ball from behind. That's $50 right there. A lot of public courses, and decent public courses, it costs a round. That's a round of golf that you're paying for your ball marker. Man, that's a lot. That bothers me. Like, Tiger Woods has got more money than he'll ever know what to do with. His son Charlie and his daughter, I mean, they're taken care of for the rest of their lives. His grandkids' grandkids are taken care of for the rest of their lives. Do you really have to charge that? And that's off his website, by the way. If you go into a pro shop or you go into a golf store, it might be even more. How about appealing to the people? You really want to help young kids grow the game and all that stuff? Make something that's affordable for them. Give them a chance to wear your stuff, but not break the bank and break their entire paycheck for doing it. We've got techs on the other side. You can text Sports Radio to 21,000. We're back with more on X's and Bros on a Monday across the great state of Michigan after this.
In the Den with Dan Dickerson. Hey, Tigers fans, a new baseball season means a new season on Michigan's favorite island destination, Mackinac Island. Baseball, spring, and Mackinac Island. Things that return every year, reminding us what a great state we live in. Shake off the winter blahs. Take in a game and plan your trip to America's top summer destination, MackinacIsland.org. There really are a stunning number of very good to great hitters who just aren't hitting right now. The lowest OPS of any regular belongs to the Tigers' Colt Keith. Next lowest, the ex-Tiger, Nick Castellanos. Then comes Randy Arozarena. Last year's NL Rookie of the Year, Corbin Carroll, had 65 extra base hits last year. He has four so far this year, and he's hitting 190. Yandy Diaz has been arguably one of the top two hitters in the American League the last 2 years. He's hitting 220 with no power. The list goes on. It's Xander Bogaerts, Alex Bregman, Paul Goldschmidt, and the sensational Julio Rodriguez, all low average and shockingly low power numbers. It's a reminder, which we need every year. Hitting is hard.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Roast Umber is a farm direct coffee sourced from Central American farmers and roasted in Grand Rapids. And also the Nitro cold brew coffee is a convenient and healthy option for energy with no sugar additives. Look for it at your local retailer or at roastumber.com.
After the hour, welcome in, X's and Bros. Matt Shepard with you across the great state of Michigan. The Meijer Hotline, 866-838-4843. Put it on speed dial. Join us anytime you want. I know we got some texts, too, from Sports Radio to 21,000. Ben, fire away. Who do we got?
Yeah, it says, if it was a Nicholas line, would you buy it? Just asking. People generally buy what and who they really like. Think Patrick Reed can charge those prices?
No, I would not buy it if it was a Nicholas line. I wouldn't buy it if it was a Patrick Reed line. And I'm not going to buy it if it's Tiger Woods. I like Tiger Woods. I mean, I think there's things that Tiger Woods does that, I mean, kind of holds the media kind of kowtows to. But I've said time and time again, numerous times, one of the greatest athletes ever. His run, what he was able to do, just unbelievable. I happen to think Jack Nicklaus is the greatest golfer of all time. If it's 1A, 1B, it's right there. That's debatable. There's plenty of people who probably disagree with me. That's okay. Got no problem with that. I like Tiger Woods. I think I've always said this about Tiger Woods. I've said it about Michael Jordan. I've said it about Wayne Gretzky. What I give them so much credit for doing is they face the media every time. The media wants them every single time. It doesn't matter whether Tiger Woods makes the cut or doesn't. Whether he wins the tournament or finishes last, which doesn't happen very often. Whether or not he had the best round of the day or the worst round of the day. The media wants to hear from him. And for the most part, I don't know about every single time, but for the most part, he obliges. Michael Jordan. Whether he was the best player on the floor or not, and more oftentimes than not, he was. And the same thing with Wayne Gretzky. Two goals or no goals? Two assists or no assists? Win or a loss, people wanted to hear from him. They faced the music every time that I could tell. That's pretty damn good. That's impressive. But when it comes to something like that, no, it's not happening. I wouldn't do it. But that's just me. I'm not saying that you're foolish if you do. Go ahead. For me, I'd choose to spend the money on something else. It just seems like a lot of money, that's all. For a ball marker to cost $50, I think is outrageous. But we all have a line that we don't want to cross, and for me, that would be one of them. What else we got, Ben?
Yeah, it says, when will Cade elevate his team like Mancaro?
Well, yeah, I kind of figured that was coming. Can a player force another player to shoot the ball better in a game? Who's got a better roster, the Magic or the Pistons? I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Now, look, in fairness, if you wanted to play that game, then use this example. As good as Paolo Banchero was yesterday, and he had 38 points, he had a double-double, he was phenomenal. Franz Wagner went 1-for-15. How come he didn't elevate him to win game 7? I'm not blaming Paolo Banchero for Franz Wagner's struggles. That's not fair. I think Cade Cunningham's a really good player. I think he's a guy I would definitely keep, a guy I would want around. Can he elevate other players? Maybe that's the question. That remains to be seen because he has not. It doesn't seem like he and Jaden Ivey work very well together in the backcourt. I understood why they took Jaden Ivey. I'm just telling you, from my perspective, maybe you disagree, maybe you share this belief, that it doesn't seem like they mesh very well. I don't think Cade Cunningham has very good players around him. That's the simplistic way. In sports, it's a little bit easier, I think. This can be very kind of complicated. This can be, I mean, in football, for example, can a quarterback make a receiver better? Yeah, I mean, you throw him in certain spots, right? You make sure that you're throwing him to in the certain routes, which is more the offensive coordinator than the quarterback. But putting it in a certain area, yeah, that's making a player better. Can a quarterback make an offensive line better? If the offensive line isn't great at protecting, you probably have to do what? Make quicker throws, right? In all likelihood. I don't know if that's the quarterback making the offensive line look better. Hockey player, I can't make you. Last night in Las Vegas, for example, Jack Eichel, who's a really good player, he's assistant captain for Las Vegas, a big reason why they won the Stanley Cup a year ago, he missed an open net backhanded opportunity that would have given them a 2-1 lead. He missed it in the later stages of the third. Okay. Is that Jonathan Marchessault's fault? That he or Mark Stone's fault? No, I don't think so. I think Banchero makes other players better on his team, but I think a lot of those players are already better than members of the Pistons, if you follow that. Now, you may not agree with that because maybe we're too close, way too close to the situation in Detroit. But if you look at the Pistons and you see their team, and how many of those guys do you look at and you say are really important to keep and other teams may want? And then you look at the Magic. I like Jalen Suggs. I think he's a good player. He was 2-for-13 yesterday. I think Franz Wagner has had a really good season. He's still a young player. He's only 22, and he averaged 20 points a game this year. But he went 1-for-15. Is that Paolo Banchero's fault? See, you're giving Banchero credit for winning 47 games, and he's the primary reason. It's phenomenal. Love the upside. 38 points, 16 rebounds, 10 of 28 from the floor. Would you take it? You bet. But it's not his fault that Wagner went 1-for-15. Suggs went 2-for-13. I mean, who else would you want from that team? You want Mo Wagner? He was He's kind of a role player. Markelle Fultz, who was first overall back in his draft class. No. They've got still a ways to go, but they're better than Detroit. You would admit that. For sure. And it's primarily because Boncaro. And Boncaro stayed healthy. I think he's a better player than Cade Cunningham. And you would agree with that. Now, maybe you're arguing this. Look at Donovan Mitchell, Shep. Is Cleveland really that good? Not without Donovan Mitchell, they're not. But they were missing Jared Allen yesterday, who averaged a double-double against Orlando this year, but has missed the last three games with, you know, bruised ribs or bad ribs. Anyway, they won't get into specifics. I do think it's a fair question. I'm just thinking about it. Wonder what your thoughts are. Cade Cunningham, does he not make other players around him better? Certain guys have gotten better. Are you going to give the credit to him, or are you going to give him the blame if they're not getting better? Phone number on the Meyer hotline is 866-838-4843. We're back right after this on X's and Bros. On the great
future for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive boys and girls high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
Friday, July 26th at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. The Offspring. Pretty Fly for what? Same show, same night. Simple plan. I'm just a kid. Plus special guest Hoobastank. Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets as low as $26 and on sale now at the Soaring Eagle box office or online at etix.com. Party hard, rock harder. The Offspring, Simple Plan, and Hoobastank. July 26th, showtime 7 p.m. Details at SoaringEagleCasino.com.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Coming up later today at 3 on the Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network, I'll deliver huge opinions on everything you're talking about.
Back with you on X's and Bros. Glad you're with us. Appreciate all your texts so far here this morning on a Monday, including the last one about Cade Cunningham trying to elevate his team, or why doesn't he do it like Paolo Banchero of Orlando? I just don't think he has as good a teammates as in players. His players aren't as good. I know that sounds simplistic and maybe it's not fair. Look, I've said this a lot over the years. When you look at players, who makes the other better? Can they help each other? My favorite is the Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. Is either one of those Hall of Famers, and you can argue that Rice is the best wide receiver of all time, and you can argue Montana's the greatest quarterback of all time. They each helped each other, didn't they? And when Montana moved on, or when he was hurt, Rice was equally effective with Steve Young at quarterback, but Montana did lead Kansas City to an AFC title game when he left San Francisco. So it's not like he was chopped liver. Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson. Matthew Stafford, Golden Tate. Matthew Stafford, Brandon Pettigrew. All those things. We brought that up quite a bit. Who makes who better? I mean, Chris Durham had over 40 catches. You never heard of him before or after Matthew Stafford. A no-name had a decent season. So obviously he made him better. Calvin Johnson made Matthew Stafford better too. And vice versa. Ask him. They'll both tell you that. And that's cool. Did Michael Jordan make Scottie Pippen and Bill Cartwright and B.J. Armstrong and Will Perdue and Luke Longley, all those guys, did he make them better? Cliff Livingston? A great player like that would make anybody better, wouldn't he? But he was. They weren't great right away. Jordan was, but his team wasn't. John Paxson. Was he better because of Michael Jordan? Was Steve Kerr better as a player because of Michael Jordan? I would have to say yes, because Jordan draws a certain amount of attention and is able to kick to those guys, and they are a little bit more wide open than they would have been had Jordan not been on the floor. I think that's a fair assumption. I don't have all the logistics and all the analytics and numbers with it, but I think it's a fair assumption. How do we know that Cade Cunningham's not doing the same, but guys are missing shots? Or Cade Cunningham is getting to the rim and laying it off, and a guy is fumbling it out of bounds. I guess I'm hesitant to suggest that Cade Cunningham isn't making his players better when I haven't seen those players collectively now make a great jump from 1 year to the next. If you've listened to the show, you know, I like Jalen Duren. And I think Cade Cunningham is good enough to be a leader on this team. And I like Cade Cunningham. Everybody else, I'm open to moving on. Now, there are certain guys I wouldn't mind coming off the bench, like Simone Fontecchio. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Marcus Sasser coming off the bench? Sure. Limit their minutes? Absolutely. Another text. Ben, fire away.
Yeah, last one. It says, does Van Gundy get credit for taking Dinwiddie in the second round when his first draft has no first rounder? Gore screwed Van Gundy by resigning Drummond and making that Blake trade. Does Van Gundy get credit for the great trade of Brandon Jennings from Milwaukee before he got hurt?
Okay, hold on a second. I need to take that a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit more slowly. Does Van Gundy get credit for drafting Spencer Dinwiddie in the second round? Is that what that the text said? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that is.
Okay. Well, Spencer Dinwiddie, correct me if I'm wrong here. All right. But Spencer Dinwiddie didn't stick with the Pistons. He didn't have his success with the Pistons. Spencer Dinwiddie's success came after 46 games with Detroit. That's when he got successful. Okay? Was that, I think that was Stan Van Gundy's first draft, 2014, right? Why am I going to give him credit for drafting Spencer Dinwiddie in the second round and then getting rid of him when he turned out to be a good player? Why would I do that? No way. I get the sense you think that I have it in for Stan Van Gundy a little bit. Damn right I do. I think he was horrible. horrible. Let me ask you this real quick. Would you take Spencer Dinwiddie or Jeremy Grant or Nikola Jokic? Rank those three players in order. If he's that smart, if he's that good, why didn't he take Jeremy Grant, who went right after him? If he's that smart and he's that good at recognizing talent, why didn't he take Nikola Jokic, who was taken three picks after Spencer Dinwiddie? The answer is no. I'm not giving him credit for that. He screwed it up. Not only did he not take the right guy, if you think he took the right guy, he got rid of him, sent him to Brooklyn, and when he did have him, didn't even play him. You don't want to play him at age 21, even though you did, 34 games. That's fine. Go ahead. Because it's not like your team was all that great anyway. Let's go to the phone lines and the Meyer hotline, 866-838-4843.
Yeah, we got Danny in Brighton.
Hey, Danny, how are you, bud?
Shep, good morning, my man. How are we doing today?
Good. Yourself? Hope you had a good weekend.
Every day, my friend, is a holiday. So, you know, I'm listening to you talking, and it's interesting, the whole – I mean, I am not a basketball NBA fan at all, but I mean, I follow it, but – the thing I found interesting, you were just talking about Stan Van Gundy, and I think that spills over to Troy Weaver as well, is the whole idea of, like, you know, roster construction. And mm-hmm. I think that was like Juwan Howard's downfall at Michigan. Is like, I'm getting this name. And, you know, Weaver and Van Gundy, the same thing. We're just going to get this name. Well, how does this guy fit on your team? What is this guy going to do? And, you know, just as a comparison, I think that's what Brad Holmes is amazing at. He's like, you know what? You know, for 3 years, he's picking people, and there were people that actually criticized getting, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs or Jack Campbell or Sam LaPorta, and Holmes like, they fit. So now, if whoever Brad Holmes drafts, if Brad Holmes drafts Ben, I'm like, you know what? He's got a need for Ben. But if Troy Weaver drafts Ben, I'm like, what are you doing because of his record? And like, okay, I've got all these guys. What are they doing? And one of my frustrations with trying to watch the Pistons is you compare them to teams like Cleveland and Orlando who were in, and Oklahoma City, who were in similar situations 4 or 5 years ago. Those teams are so much better than us now because they were able to identify the right players.
100%. 100%. It's an underrated part of being a general manager. I don't think, first of all, I don't think Stan Van Gundy was a very good coach, but I thought he was a worse general manager. I mean, I think he's as bad as Matt Millen was at his job. All right. So he, in other words, he's not playing Spencer Dinwiddie, but he's playing Jody Meeks. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Go right ahead. And his team won, what were they, 28, 29 wins, you know, that first year under Stan Van Gundy. Recognizing how pieces fit with the other key pieces is so vital. And then it's up to your coach to be able to be A, on the same page, and B, make sure you're putting those players in a position to be successful. In other words, you're not going to play them too much. You're going to play them the right amount. You're not going to play in hockey. Not going to play certain defensemen against certain lines because they're effective against these lines, right? Brad Holmes is brilliant at that. And that's why I think I trust, and I don't want to speak for you, but that's why I trust that if he signs Jared Goff, he knows the reason he brought in Jared Goff, he knows who Jared Goff is. How does he protect him? With a really good offensive line. How does he protect him? With good play action. Those are the things that make Jared Goff successful and makes his team successful. I don't think Stan Van Gundy ever figured that out with the Detroit Pistons, ever.
No, I agree, Shep. And it, like I said, he was like the start of the demise that continues today. And you know, when you think about rosters, so, you know, I'll go my whole Detroit spiel for a minute. I think I kind of still, you know, I'm still optimistic about the Tigers because I get the sense that Scott Harris knows this is the kind of player I want. Now, some of the guys that are on the roster right now, they're not necessarily delivering, but they have a history from their past, like the minors, college, whatever, that they can. So, like, okay, well, they're young, I'll give them time. Eisenman was the same way. You know, I'm going to put these young guys in. My only criticism with Eisenman is he was like, I think Detroit could have had a couple of other young guys that were in Grand Rapids, namely Jonathan Berggren and right. Simon Edmundson all year. Right. Those guys should have been on the roster from day one. They would have benefited immensely, and I think the team would have as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Thanks, Danny. Have a great day. I appreciate the phone call. The only thing I would say is, I hope so. I don't know. I mean, whose place are they going to take? Were they ready at that time? We don't know that. It sure seems like it. But I've got no problem with, especially hockey, guys, you know, biding their time a little bit and getting a little bit more nurtured, getting the amount of time that they need on the ice in every situation, rather than coming up, playing on a third or fourth line, playing on a third or fourth defensive pairing, and getting 12 minutes a game. If you want to have one of your young players who you think is going to be key to your success in the coming seasons, for his future and your team's future, and they're going to have to play 22 minutes a game, I would rather have them do that down in the minors, getting 25 to 26 minutes a game than getting 12 minutes on the parent club. That's my opinion. Now, because they've proven, especially Edmundson, because he's proven that he has the ability to do that and help this team, as long as he stays in shape in the offseason, gets to work, and has a decent camp, he sure as hell should come, well, in this case, it would be south from Traverse City down to Detroit. He sure as hell should come to Detroit and be a fixture on that blue line. There's no doubt about that. And I speak the same language that a lot of you are, too. With Berggren, if he can have that type of success, how much more does he have to prove, right? Yes. The only thing I would caution you is this. Guys get promoted because they've earned it or, you know, we're crying for it and we want to see it constantly. It's a massive leap from AAA to the NHL, or from the AHL, I should say, to the NHL, and AAA to Major League Baseball. It's a massive leap. Ask Cole Keith right now, because it's struggling. He's struggling right now. I'm not saying give up on him by any stretch. No way. It doesn't shake my confidence in him whatsoever either. I truly believe he is going to be a solid hitter. I like him a lot. Think about it. Javier Baez has been around a long time. He struggles right now. What's he batting? .177? Cole Keith is batting, you know, .150? Hey, these are the tough lessons that you're going to have to deal with. Parker Meadows, under 100. A tough lesson you're going to have to deal with. Do we have the patience for it? Probably not. Not when you have as many of these guys struggling at the same time. That's the frustrating part, isn't it? The hard thing for, especially in baseball and hockey, since that's what you brought up, Danny, it's not like football, where we watch them for 3 or 4 years at Michigan State or the University of Michigan or wherever they may be. Then they come to your team, and depending on the round they were drafted, boom, they're inserted. In hockey, we're drafting at 18. How many times, you know, are they going to college? Are they playing in the juniors? What exactly are they doing for us to monitor them? It's hard for – how much college hockey do we watch? You know, how much hockey do you watch in the juniors? And then I know the folks in Grand Rapids listening on WMAX 96.1 FM The Game are watching the Griffins, but how many people in Metro Detroit are watching them and monitoring how they're doing? Not many. Same thing with the minor leagues. We'll give you an update once in a while, but it's hard to figure out sometimes who exactly is where and how well they're doing, right? Yeah, that's a challenge. Football, it's a little different because their minor leagues is college hockey. So we're sitting there watching them. Or college football, I should say. We're watching them on a regular basis. I mean, Colt Keith came out of high school, for crying out loud. When he was drafted. I mean, it's the same thing with Max Clark. He's drafted, but he's drafted out of high school in Indiana. I saw Wyatt Langford play at Florida. It's a big reason I wanted him. It was a known entity for me. So I'm good with that. That's exactly what I was hoping the Tigers would get. That's why I was disappointed when they didn't draft him. Because I watched him. So there is a, I think there's a massive difference there. But it's a great conversation to have. Absolutely perfect. Does Scott Harris, I mean, how does he feel about certain guys fitting in? Look, to his credit, you bring in Mark Canha, you bring in Gio Urshela, Jack Flaherty, Kenta Maeda. You feel like you've put some veterans who've established something in the major leagues with some of the young guys to help them along. It's not working out, but it's early on. All right? We're not at that 40-game plateau just yet. Hey, our thanks to Jason Langwell for the conversation about the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Our thanks to Ben, our producer, but most of all, thanks to you for your texts on the text line, Sports Radio to 21,000. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 6 until 9, on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan on the Michigan Sports Network. Have a great Monday, everybody, and thanks for joining us.
We played for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Roast Umber is a farm direct coffee sourced from Central American farmers and roasted in Grand Rapids. And also the Nitro cold brew coffee is a convenient and healthy option for energy with no sugar additives. Look for it at your local retailer or at roastumber.com.
The Freddie the Pizza Man Foundation is dedicated to providing support to families and Michigan schools touched by autism. We invite you to join us in supporting these families and schools by making a donation at FreddieThePizzaMan.com. With your donation, you can help provide essential resources that can make a real impact. Visit FreddieThePizzaMan.com to make a donation and to learn more about the foundation's mission. That's FreddieThePizzaMan.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Huge here for Van Andel Institute Purple Community. Now, they're a grassroots fundraising network powered by the volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve health now and in the future. Learn more at purplecommunity.org. Coming up later today at 3 on the Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network, I'll deliver huge opinions on everything you're talking about.